You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Multiple sclerosis is described as a disease in which the insulating covers of nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord are damaged. Now, that damage disrupts the ability of parts of the nervous system to communicate, resulting in a number of physical issues. And did you know this? The farther you live away from the equator, the more likely you are to get MS. And our guest today was diagnosed with MS in 2014, and then just a few months ago, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Joining us from Spokane, Washington, is Steve Vandersheldon. Tell me some of the problems you were experiencing prior to being diagnosed with MS.
The doctors, I was diagnosed late in life, which is kind of unusual. I was diagnosed at the age of 53, but the doctors think that I was showing symptoms long before that. I have balance issues. I fall occasionally. And there was numbness and tingling in both my arms and my feet. No two people with MS experience the same symptoms, you know, not all the same symptoms anyway. It's not like, oh, gee, I've got a cold or I've got the flu, so I've got a sinus headache and I've got the chills. We're all a little bit different. Mine was that, and then muscle twitch is really bad. And I took a fall and was hospitalized, and they did an MRI on me, and they found lesions. The best way to describe a lesion is like you get a scratch on your arm and it scabs over. That's what I have on my brain and my spinal column. Us in the MS world call them bright spots because they show up as bright spots on your spine and your spine and your brain. And it got to the point where for a while I couldn't walk. I was using a walker and a cane, mostly a walker. And they had me on a couple of different drugs. One was called Copaxone, which is an injectable you inject in your stomach. And the other one was Tysabri, which is an oral med. And the side effects were just too much for me to take.
What were some of the side effects, Steve?
Oh, geez. Fever, chills. I itched a lot. On the Tysabri, I had anaphylaxis. You get fatigue, which you already get from MS. You're tired. And this, like, tripled it. And then they want to give you something like Ritalin, Adderall, or Provigil to combat the fatigue. And at one time for the first couple of months, at one time I was taking about 13 different medications. And mainly that was to, you know, side effects of side effects of side effects of side effects. They don't have any drugs, in my opinion, any pharmaceuticals that actually help with MS. They're called disease-modifying drugs, but I don't want my disease modified. I want it, you know, handled. And they can't exactly tell you what kind of modification this drug is doing to your symptoms or to the disease itself.
Steve, what was it like for you psychologically to experience the fact that you had MS and your health, from what you've told me and told us, seemed to be deteriorating?
When I was first diagnosed, I was like, wow, really? I mean, it took a while to sink in. My mother has MS and she's bedridden. My cousin in Bellingham, Ferndale area, has MS. There's probably a dozen people I could name off from Okanagan County, Washington, from Oroville to Brewster that have MS. Two of my teachers did. And I'd been around it, you know, but I thought, you know, they got to be wrong, because I'd already, 4 years prior to that, been diagnosed with COPD emphysema, you know. So it was it was not something I was ready to hear, and it was not something that I wanted to deal with at the time. I went into a pretty heavy depression and unfortunately took medication to get me out of that. And after a while on the drugs, you know, I've been involved with cannabis for 40 years. I'm 55 now. And I grew up in the 70s in Okanagan County when cannabis was just starting to get popular there, and I hung out with what they would call, what people back then called the hippies. I've known, you know, about the medicinal qualities for a lot of years, and it was my son actually said, well, why don't you try cannabis oil, Dad? It's been working for everything else. And I thought, you know what? So I did. And I'm holding my own now where I wasn't 2 years ago. I don't have to walk with the walker. I work. I'm working again. It's given me my life back. I worked at a nursing home for a time up in Shelby, Montana, and one of the patients there had the same kind of MS I have, which is primary progressive. Now, with primary progressive, you don't get a relapse. You don't get remission. There's no remission of symptoms. You just constantly have them, or they continue on and get worse unless you deal with them. And I'll be honest with you, a gram oil in the morning and a gram oil at night, and I don't have muscle spasms as bad. Like I said, I'm working. I don't walk with a cane or a walker. And according to my last MRI findings, there is no discernible progression of the disease.
Wow. Now, are you taking high indica?
Very high indica.
And even in the daytime, you're doing the indica?
I'm sorry, what?
Even in the daytime, you're doing the indica?
Well, I don't work in the daytime, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't, I've been smoking and playing with cannabis for, like I said, 40 years. I have a pretty high tolerance.
So you're not exactly high then when you're taking it?
Yeah, I don't get totally high like I would if I just sat down and smoked a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm more relaxed at work. I've got back issues. I had spina bifida as a child, and I have back issues, and I use the heavier indica dominant because it's great for pain.
Right. Right. Do you make your own, Steve?
No, I don't. One of the reasons I moved to Washington was, hey, we're legal here.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, it was such a kick in the shorts to walk into a store with my daughter. It really was. It was something I'd waited 40 years to be able to do. But on the other hand, to be able to walk into a store and buy medicine that actually works and not be, you know, limited to just whatever the doctors can prescribe or, you know, the black market is fabulous.
Steve, when you started the cannabis oil, did you start with a gram a day and work up to 2 grams a day, or how did that work?
I started with a half a gram in the morning and a half a gram at evening. What I'd do in the morning is I'd put half a gram in my coffee, first cup of coffee in the morning. It has a whole new meaning to the word wake and bake, but it was it. And, you know, it takes, oh, you know, even in my coffee, it'd be an hour before I start to feel anything, but I do that before work, and then I go to work and just have a normal day. But I bumped up when I found out I had lung cancer. And I do firmly believe that the cancer would have been much worse if I hadn't already been, using oil for the multiple sclerosis.
All right, just before we get to the lung cancer, I want to ask you about you started the cannabis oil, half a gram,
right.
Twice a day. So you were taking a gram a day. How long did it take you to wean yourself off of the medications that you were on?
Well, the Copaxone, Tysabri, the MS drugs, you can just stop. So I just stopped those. Like there's a lot of people that I've talked with that have done the same thing.
Okay.
The hydrocodone and the opioid pain medications took a little bit longer, about 30 days, 40 days, something like that, till I was actually feeling myself again, And don't get me wrong, I still have to use those occasionally when it just gets to be too much, because if I do, quite frankly, if I bump myself up to a gram and a half in the morning, I'd be asleep in an hour.
Well, there's people that would be asleep in an hour for like a week, Steve.
Yeah, true. Very, very true.
So, you know, I mean, even you starting out at, what did you start out at, a half a gram a day or a quarter gram?
Yeah, half a gram.
Twice a day.
That's not the norm, and I think maybe we should just kind of concentrate on that just for a second here. The average person who hasn't done oil before, who does half a gram, that could be rather a frightening experience. So do start out slowly.
We should make that clear.
Because that's quite a hefty dose.
Yeah. I know, but you know, when I first moved over here, moved back to Spokane in August. I spent a lot of time experimenting with the different products you can get here in the stores because, well, quite frankly, we didn't have that in Montana. I had my green card there, but I was eventually, I did an interview with the Great Falls Tribune about medical marijuana in 2010. My picture was on the front page of the Sunday paper in June of that year, with me wearing a Bob Marley shirt holding my green card. And public housing, the officials, I was sharing a place with my daughter in public housing there in Great Falls, Montana, and the powers that be for public housing saw that, and they evicted me. They threatened to evict my daughter and kids, but I cut a deal with them and said I'd go quietly if they'd just let her and the boys stay.
Mm.
And I've actually got a no trespass for life from them. I'm not even supposed to go on the property. According to them, I'm banished from seeing my kids and my grandkids in their place of residence.
Isn't that interesting? Just because of marijuana, which is a plant, but you could go with a container of Paxil or Ritalin, and you'd be
fine. Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
It's
a skewed system. Steve, when you were on the cannabis oil, how long did you take to push your walker aside?
It was about a month. Almost 2 months.
That must have felt liberating for you.
It felt great. my grandkids, I'd always been active with them, always. And I'm one of the fortunate grandparents who has been, until I moved over to Spokane here last August, I had been with all my grandkids except my granddaughter from the time of their birth to, you know, grandpa was always around. And we were always doing something. We were, you know, outside. Whenever I'd go visit or the kids would come to visit me, we'd spend our time outside or doing something, even just rolling around, wrestling, having a good time. And it got to the point where I couldn't lift my youngest grandson. And that really kind of hurt. But the day that I realized, I looked at my roommate and said, hey, I don't think I need to use this thing right now. And he's like, well, don't fall on the floor. It's wood. That was in May of 2014, and I haven't used it since.
Awesome. Now, do you find that most days the oil is able to handle the majority of your symptoms?
Yeah, it is. I mean, my symptoms run from being, you know, numbing my fingers and my toes to what we call leg drop, which is I'll be walking along and my right leg just drags unintentionally. I've actually been pulled over walking by the police in Great Falls thinking I was drunk in public, but you know, that's not the case. I don't drink. And then I get muscle twitches, almost like Parkinson's patients. And that's about the extent right now. I mean, I there's so many more I have to look forward to that I'm confident that oil will help with. I mean, the muscle twitches are the worst. And I probably, if I didn't have the muscle twitches, especially in my legs and my feet and my arms, I probably wouldn't even need a half a gram a night, but that's the only thing that settles them down. And I've been on Flexeril, Soma, Scalaxin, Robaxin, all these different muscle relaxers, Tenazepam, and none of them work.
But cannabis does.
Cannabis works well.
Wow. Steve, do you find that there's particular strains that work better for your condition, or do you just take whatever they happen to have?
No, I'm very strain conscious. I like the heavy indicas. Sometimes, you know, for work, because I smoke on a daily basis too. I mean, I just have all my life, and during the day, I usually, you know, try to stick with a more sativa dominant, you know, because it gets me up, it gets me moving. You know, I work afternoons, so I get up at like 8 o'clock in the morning and I do my medications, and then I'm at work at 2 o'clock, so I kind of slide into it nice and easy. But I'm a real, real fan of Dutch Treat. It works really well for me. There's a company out of OMAC, a grower out of OMAC, Blue Sky Farms, that puts out some good product that's indica dominant. There's a strawberry banana that I just got that was really good. I have to watch my appetite too, because of recent events, I went from 200 pounds down to 145. So I look for something also that's going to give me the heavy munchies so I can start putting on weight again.
Good idea. Are you doing any CBD oil at all?
Occasionally. It just depends on the price. And, you know, I don't know how true it is, but I read an article with an interview with Rick Simpson, and he said it's not the CBD, it's the THC that you should be using. So,
interesting. I know with the MS patients that I've worked with, many of them are doing CBD and THC.
I've got some friends that are doing that, and I've just pretty much stuck with the THC right now.
Well, I think it's whatever works for you, right?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's a different ball game with MS. It's a different ball game for everybody, more so than, you know, cancer.
Do you ever apply the cannabis topically in any way, shape, or form?
No, I haven't. I have not tried that yet. My primary care doctor is going to certify me for my green card next month here in Washington. And then I can go to a regular, you know, a medical dispensary.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. We were talking to Tracy last week, and she was saying that medicinal cannabis is not available where you have the recreational.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a whole different dispensary, whole different ball game down here in Washington State anyway with that. But I know that they have topicals, and I've read some stuff that says that you know, the topical balm is really good for muscles and, you know, aches and pains and, you know, joint issues and things like that. So once I get my green card, I'm going to be doing that too.
It'll be interesting to see if you're able to cut back a bit on your ingestion of oil if you're applying it topically.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. And, you know, I've thought about it, you know, and I just, it's like Hunter S. Thompson said, you know, marijuana has been a comfort to me. And it really has.
Yeah.
I mean, especially these last 3-4 years. I've had a pretty rough couple of years the last two.
Yeah, you have, Steve. You were diagnosed with MS. You take the pharmaceutical drugs. You don't like them. You go on cannabis oil. It makes you feel a lot better. You get rid of your walker. And then you were diagnosed with lung cancer. Take us through that.
Okay. I had a spot on my lung that they were following, that they were tracking in Great Falls for a couple of years. My pulmonologist there said, if it doesn't grow, we don't need to worry about it. I'm like, okay, great. I take my morning, I'm on a 24-hour, once-a-day corticosteroid inhaler, and I've got about, until recently, I had about 60% of my lung tissue left. So one day, I get off work, and I'm hurting really bad in my chest, in my right chest, and my right flank area, and I go to the ER room here in Spokane at Deaconess North. And the doctor does a CT with contrast, and he sees that spot, and I tell him, oh yeah, they've been tracking that, but if it hasn't grown, you know, I was told we don't have to worry about it. Well, he got my copy of my last CT from Great Falls and didn't like what he saw, so he faxed them both to a pulmonologist here. She looked at them and said, I want to see him right away. 3 days later, I'm seeing her, And she's looking at this and she says, we need to get a biopsy. So 4 days after that, I'm getting a biopsy done. A week after that, she calls me and she asks me if I want the results over the phone. And I'm like, well, yeah, you got me here. I might as well. And she said it was positive for an adenocarcinoma. And I'm like, wow, okay. My brother, I'm staying with my brother and sister-in-law right now here in Spokane. And my nephew was here, my brother's son and my brother. And I just kind of, I don't know how to explain it. I just kind of dropped. So they ordered a PET scan. PET scan showed it hadn't spread anywhere else. It was just that one spot on my lungs. So I got lucky there. I was a cigarette smoker for 40 plus years. My dad fought cancer 4 times. There's cancer in my family. So, it wasn't really a big surprise, but it was. So anyway, the PET scan shows hasn't spread anywhere, and I get referred to a surgeon. And, well, before that I went and saw an oncologist, and he said, the way that we usually deal with this type of cancer is surgery. And okay, so they set me up with the surgeon. I go visit him. I think it was January 27th, I had my initial consult with him. He told me what they were going to do, told me I was a candidate for robotic surgery with the Da Vinci robot. So that meant that they'd only make 5 small 1-inch incisions to remove that third of my lung instead of one great big one around my shoulder blade, which was a plus. Let's see, I saw him, I think it was the 27th of January, and they scheduled my surgery for February 8th. And that's where they did what's called a lobectomy, and they took out the bottom lobe of my right lung and said I was cancer, said they got it all. They took out a couple of lymph glands to check, and they came back clean. I got extremely, extremely lucky. They caught it early. I only lost a third of my lung. And right now, I am considered stage 1A stable. There's a couple more spots on my right lung that they're going to track, and I go in for another CT in June to see about that. But I really think that this could have been a lot worse if I hadn't already been on, cannabis oil.
Yeah. Are you doing suppositories at all, Steve?
No.
No, I
can't get those here yet.
Well, certainly what I've observed is patients who have lung cancer do extremely well with suppositories.
I saw one of your posts about that, and that was actually one of the things that led me to go ahead and get my green card.
Good.
I mean, there's so many new medical products out there that I don't have access to because I don't have that card. And I let my one in Montana expire because they just totally screwed up the medical marijuana law there, and it's still messed up.
Yeah, it resulted in ruining a lot of lives. I'm sure you're familiar with Cash Hyde, the little boy that lived in Montana.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ian and I are just kind of looking at each other while you're talking about getting your card here. If I've got this correct, you can go into a dispensary or a shop in Washington and buy recreational cannabis as long as you're over, 19 or something?
21.
21.
Yeah.
But if you want medical cannabis, you have to get a green card.
Yes, you do. You have to find a doctor that's on board with that. And fortunately, I've been fortunate here in Spokane. It took me a while. At first, when I got here, I have Medicaid down here. At first, when I got here, I was going to like a community health center, which is no different really than the one in Great Falls. It's overcrowded. They've got too many people coming to them, and they just don't pay attention. And the doctor there in October of last year gave me a referral to pain management, and I still haven't heard from them. But once I finally got in with the Rockwood Health System here, which is who did their doctors found the cancer and the diagnosis, and I've been seeing a neurologist here with them, things have moved a lot quicker. 3 days after my referral to pain management, I got a call from them. 3 days after my referral to a neurologist, I got a call from them. 4 days after my referral to a physiatrist, I got a call. it's funny how the medical system works anymore.
Steve, when you said you had the operation February 8th, you're talking February 8th of this year?
Yep.
Just over a month and a half ago.
Yeah, wow. And they told me I was going to be down and off work for probably 2 to 3 months. But hey, guess what? Steve is a walking, talking miracle because I went to work back to work after a month.
Wow.
And I wonder, you know, one of the guys at work asked me, "How are you back at work? How are you back at work so soon?" Because I read about the surgery that you had, and you should still be at home in bed. And I looked at him. I said, "Cannabis oil. What do you think?"
What did he say?
Well, we smoke together, so like, "Really?"
Steve, do you happen to know the percent of THC that's in the oil you take?
You know, I honestly have no idea.
Because it would be interesting to see if you got on what their guest term medical cannabis oil, whether the THC content would be higher.
I would honestly think so. I mean, I have seen at some of the stores here what they call concentrated THC oil in a little, plastic syringe, and they tell you only take start out with a piece the size of a grain of rice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, first of all, grain of rice is not going to get me high, and I just don't see the point in it when you spend $75 for that little syringe.
Wow. $75 for a gram?
Half a gram.
Whew. I'll tell you that grain of rice size, it would get me wasted. I'm sorry.
Not only would it, did.
It did. Yes, it did.
Well, one of the products that they've got in the stores here, and one of my nephews knows the guy that makes them, are infused drinks. And he does infused lemonade, 25 milligrams. One size is 25 milligrams. The other size is 75 milligrams. And it's a 12-ounce bottle. I bought one of the 75s once. They're $35 a piece. And I just finished drinking it when my nephew showed up. And he looked at me and he looked at the bottle. He says, "25 milligram?" I said, "Nope, 75. And he looks at me and he says, "Be prepared not to do anything the rest of the day."
Was he right?
So. I mean, like I said, I've got a pretty high tolerance, and I'll be honest with you. And I have never ever been in the closet about my cannabis use. I just, even when it was illegal, I really don't like the government telling me how I can and cannot medicate or what I can and cannot do. I don't drink. I never had an issue with alcohol. I just really don't care for it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you've smoked marijuana for over 40 years. You take the cannabis oil and you don't drink it. We've talked to people who have taken cannabis oil, and similar circumstances have happened to them. Where we talked to a woman, Michaela Harrison, in the UK, and she was a big wine drinker, and she said it stopped her drinking wine. And we've talked to people who've smoked cigarettes, and as a result of their using cannabis oil, their cigarette use has decreased or been eliminated.
You know, that doesn't surprise me a bit, Ian, at all. I smoked my last cigarette after a 40-plus-year habit, two packs or more a day. I smoked my last cigarette on the morning of February 8th at 5:30 before I went in for surgery, and I haven't had one since. And I am sure that part of the reason for that is the cannabis oil deals with those heebie-jeebies from not having the nicotine.
You're doing really well, Steve. MS, lung cancer, COPD, and you seem to be, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you seem to be recovering very nicely.
Yeah, it's a rude awakening. It really is to wake up with a chest tube in you and a catheter in you and hurting like hell from being in the operating room for 4 hours. But it's also an eye-opener. I mean, my brother Bill was 56 when he passed away from bladder cancer, and he'd had it. He died in 96, and he had the bladder cancer surgery in 93, and then it came back. He was gone shortly after that. My dad was 94 when he passed away, and he had cancer of everything, but he'd fought and beat prostate cancer 3 times. My sister Shirley just passed away on February 17th of this year with cancer of everything. And I mean, this was a woman who was a total vegetarian, supposedly ate a healthy diet, and, you know, cancer of everything still got her. So I look at the cannabis oil and even my smoking as, you know, a maintenance medication that hopefully will keep this from coming back. Or if it does, then, you know, we catch it early again and I go through, then I lose some more of my lung or whatever. I don't think I would be where I'm at today. Well, I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for cannabis oil, cannabis, and its medicinal properties. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, very well said. Steve, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for sharing your story.
Hey, it was great talking to you guys, too.
Yeah, very much appreciated, Steve, and keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and I know a lot of my friends are now going to listen to Cannabis Health Radio like I do.
Just before we go, remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and if you can do that, we'd appreciate it. We'd like to raise our profile. And also, if you'd like to be interviewed on Cannabis Health Radio, send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. And if you'd like to advertise on Cannabis Health Radio or be a sponsor, also send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.